Another question we need to ask the commandant. How did you have... That's a breach of security. A broken fence can be fixed within the hour. You call a local bricklayer, he'll fix the fence. But they came in through a broken fence. Or was it that they broke the fence themselves? And he says that the situation was worsened by the fact that officers who were manning the institution's closed-circuit television cameras were caught napping. Okay, and could not raise the alarm when the bandits stole the academy. So, what kind of training have they had? How motivated are they? When we talk about balancing in appointments and so on and so forth, these are the trickles of effects that you get. Believe you me, yes, because it could be that they just couldn't be bothered. They're just there to earn their pay. Now it says that the attackers had already wreaked havoc and subdued the few soldiers who tried to resist them when residents got to know about the attack. And of course, it says that the military is now, they're now compiling names of those who are involved and so on and so forth. They came in a Gestapo style. And they were in camouflage, not just ordinary uniform.
That's
invaded
right.
The NDA,
right.
Gunning down two naval officers and an Air Force officer after gaining access.
Yeah.
And
Took away one.
Okay, we lost two officers. Another was kidnapped by the gunmen. Well, the it's embarrassing. We'll be slightly patient to hear what the military would have to say, what their explanation would be, and what their investigations would also reveal. But it is important to note that this has eroded to a large extent the confidence that one has in the military. At 9 o'clock, we'll bring in a military expert for about 10-15 minutes to do a quick further analysis on this. But the Chief of Defense Staff, General Lucky Irabor, in a statement says that the gallant troops of the Armed Forces of Nigeria, I don't know why they had to have that gallant, just say that, are in hot pursuit of bandits that attacked the office quarters of the prestigious Nigerian Defense Academy. There's a lot of PR put into all this. It's a bit unnecessary at this time. But we'll see how this pans out eventually. Sherif, I wonder what you think.
I just have questions.
Yes.
I have questions. I am asking questions as to whether El-Rufai has lost control of Kaduna completely. I have questions whether the Nigerian government under President Muhammad Buhari has lost control of the Northwest to the terrorists. I have a question as to why we still call them unknown gunmen and bandits. Ariwa Consulting Firm called them street bandits. I don't know why we play smart with names when we should have called them out. Terrorists is terrorists, because these people attacked our core. That is where the psyche, that is where we mold the people that keep us safe, and that's the symbol of what is called Nigeria. It's a university for the defense people. That's where they are taught, that's where they are shaped.
Now the question I'd like to add to what you just said is, why do we want to believe they are terrorists? They could be renegade soldiers, they could be soldiers who are disgruntled. One has to be open-minded.
That's also true.
Yeah. So true. when you mentioned El-Rufai, it just struck me to say that it could jolly well be. Certainly, I believe that the whoever carried out that raid, they knew the terrain very well, and they knew what to expect. I don't think any group of bloody civilians would just get up and attack a military facility without having some insider knowledge.
So that's the thing, right? There was an initial attack on a school very close to the NDA. So yes, you're right. People that carried out that operation, they are aware, they are familiar with the terrain. Now, those ones were carried out, the attack on the college of forestry mechanization, where over 30 students were kidnapped in March this year, was very close to the NDA. And at that time, we were complaining that how is such a thing happen to in a facility, in a school that is quite close to the NDA, and nothing happened until those, because they operated for hours, and they didn't just come in one, two, they came in their large numbers, and nothing happened. They took away those students. Those ones stayed with them for about 50 days or so, over 50 days, before they were eventually released after ransom was paid. Yes, I do agree. People that carried out that operation, definitely, they understand that.
I think there's some level of internal conspiracy. And you know, I keep saying, Sharif, that security is not about guns and bullets. It's about training the minds of those who of the operatives. You don't want to make them disgruntled over issues that are within your control. I'm sorry that I keep harping on this thing, but for you to put a gun in a man's hand and tell him to put his life on the line, okay, you must work on him. You must make life comfortable is not necessarily giving him a bed to sleep on and an air-conditioned room. He must watch on his psyche. He must know that if I die, this is what's going to happen to my family. He must know that I have a future in this job that I'm doing.
Yeah.
But if he looks ahead of him and he sees that that's not happening, he'll be disgruntled. He'll be disillusioned. So I would plead with him. It's beyond the military now. And I think, somebody needs to sit the president down and try and convince him to make things more, at least for want of a better word, appear more balanced. Because this imbalance, this is what you get. Anyway, we got some military whatever at 9 o'clock.
Is it important that the president should have said something?
No, I don't think it's important that the president should say something, because the person who should talk has spoken.
Okay.
I don't think the president. And then look, don't let's ask this man on things that we know. We just have to take the president that we have now till 2023. Don't let's go that route again, and we'll say to the president, what is he, in reality, what is he going to say? But it's a national, it's not a military whatever, because like you rightly said, the symbolism of it is very crucial. Very, very crucial. And with our eyes on Afghanistan now, you know, everybody is kind of tense. You don't want to wake up one morning and discover that your country has been overrun by people who, to put it bluntly, could have been more proficient than your own security network.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go to the Vanguard newspaper. By the way, we're streaming live on Facebook. We're also live on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. We're going to take page 6 of the Vanguard. Many injured commuters stranded as transporters protest alleged extortion by task force LASMA.
Now, this again, you see, this has been going on for a week, right? It was last week this news came up, and apparently it is still going on. I, in as much as I'm trying to restrain myself, I'm getting rather fed up with this, the Lagos State government's inability to take control of situations. You what you get every time is excuses. By now, I expect the government to have waded in. Put a stop to this nonsense of collecting money on the streets. Have you handed the government over to hoodlums? You can't enforce your CADA ban. You can't enforce this one. Then what exactly are you doing? We now need to tell our government some home truths. This is completely unacceptable. Look, you doctors are on strike on one hand.
That's right.
Then now you have this one. Mm-hmm. For how long are Nigerians going to suffer because of the inefficiencies of certain people?
It's quite frustrating.
It's
really.
Very frustrating. Even if you are just driving past, seeing people run after, and extort money, you can see with force. Sometimes they break the mirror, they do this, and then you ask yourself, which government allows this to happen?
Did you see the video of a LASMA official that was hanging by?
I sent it to the commissioner for information.
Yeah.
And asked them to see if they can get the number of the truck.
Hmm.
We don't even know if that last one official died.
We don't know.
I mean, what kind of a country is this? Lagos is becoming a concrete jungle. And like somebody said, Lagos is the measuring rod of the country. Lagos collapses at the end of Nigeria.
That's your state.
We need a governor, for God's sake, who will enforce the laws that, you know, it's not about agenda or whatever. Enforce the current laws.
Why should we be having officials who will be struggling with errant commuters or traffic offenders? Why can't we go technological? Why can't we have a mechanism whereby we can actually get the numbers or whatever it is of anyone? These vehicles are registered, for God's sakes. Why do we just enjoy putting... We just want to be physical in everything we do.
The people in the bus quarters have moved to the main house and thrown the landlord to the streets.
What's the meaning of that?
I leave you to decipher that.
Landlord,
the people in the bus quarters, the squatters in the bus quarters, have moved into the main house and have thrown the landlord onto the streets. They bound the landlord to the Philistines. You sort that out in your mind.
That's a big assignment, though.
Yes. Should I repeat it one?
Well, when am I going to submit this one?
Not just you. It's a pity we don't have Twitter, but I'd love to see the kind of, because you see, the proverb I just put down. We are losing control in Lagos. You know what I mean. We are losing control in Lagos. The people that we now see at the corridors of power, exercising right and might, okay? Exercising right and might. This is what you get. If we don't do something before 2023, the new government you might have in 2023, if it is like almost same of same, only God will help Lagos. You know, it started gradually. It started gradually. Okay, now we're having all kinds of billionaires surfacing, millionaires and so on and so forth. If you get what I mean.
Yeah, I kind of do.
So if you don't make, people must learn to, people must now start thinking that what would be said of me when I leave this seat? What would history write against me when I leave this seat? Would they be referring to my boss or would they be referring to me? Am I the same person? Do I have the same whatever as my boss has? Do I have the same disposition, ultimately? You know when they say on the streets that Otulodi Yarare, that's what you're going to have. I leave you to solve that one again. Odimeji, man.
Odimeji.
So your name is now Dimeji.
I'll come through.
I'm not going to call
you Dimeji. Will come through.
I'm not calling you Dimeji.
Dimeji
will
come through.
I won't call you Kekere again. And that's Mr. Sheriff Dimeji Quadri.
Hey, see christening.
Yes, sir.
Ebenezer Odunlami on YouTube says the landlords are the real Lagosians, while the squatters are the non-Lagosians.
No, it's beyond that. Okay. Ojibelo. You try, Shao. You try. What's his name again?
That's Ebenezer.
You not get him.
Steven also on YouTube says Lagos is sliding into a state of anarchy. Mm-hmm. Something needs to be done urgently to stop the slide. Mm-hmm. As for the parable Uncle Jimmy gave, looking at Sherry's face, I just did laugh. Why are you laughing?
The parable of Dimeji.
Wow, that sounds very nice.
Yeah, the parable of Dimeji.
Page 10 of the Vanguard newspaper. YCE raises alarm over influx of foreigners to Lagos. It's right here.
Yeah, we had this before, and we were not given full details. But yes, I mean, to be honest with you, you see lorries of people coming into Lagos. Some of them don't even look or feel like Nigerians. Videos are everywhere in the social media of them in lorries and most uncomfortable place. So you ask yourself, what do they want? I believe, because I brought someone, it was a Saturday, I interviewed one young guy here who said that when he came down at Ojota, I find my way. He said, I find my way. And later he became some musician somewhere. He must be enjoying himself where he is now. But you ask yourself, are these people looking for prosperity or could it create a security challenge in future? I think it's a bit of both.
I think so too.
I think it's a bit of both. And we need to keep an eye on the ball on that. Whilst you cannot stop people from coming into Lagos, I mean, their fellow Nigerians, for all you care. I also think that a government also has the responsibility to find ways and means that we cannot, you know, ways and means known to them to prevent such mass. Part of it, of course, would be like interacting with the other states, making sure that they make their states more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
There are many ways by which you can do this, even by policy. One of the ways they do it in some countries is they make it very difficult for you to stay in their states if you don't have what's called correct papers, a resident, whatever, mm-hmm, and so on mm-hmm, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Nigeria, we must start enforcing certain laws. And we must instill discipline, and we must be ready. Another thing I find, maybe what's responsible for the reluctance of our current governor is he wants to be liked by everybody, most likely. And they're always thinking of the next election. And he usually hear the usual phrase. And so that they will not think that, no. You have a job to do. Yeah, your predecessor did it very well.
It's been done before.
Mm. So put a phone call through to him, you know. So the YC, they've raised the alarm of influx of foreigners. I find it worrying myself, to be honest. And the head of the YCE, Colonel Samuel Agbede, that's Shegun Agbede's dad, he says that what worries the YCE the most is that most of them are homeless. Go to the highbrow areas and you see a large influx of them late in the evening, scattered all over the place. And
as long as it's 5-6, you should go to some areas. You see quite.
Yeah, 5-6. You see. I mean, in VI here, the Niru side here, it becomes a market. I keep asking myself, what is the government doing about these things? What the biggest danger, though, is that gradually, an army is building up. I am told that this is one of the reasons why the government has found it difficult to enforce the ban on Okada. Because they are now afraid to confront these people. But if you don't confront them now, 3, 4, 5 years from now, they would have taken over the city.
There needs to be a control mechanism needs to be put in place. Effective one, as a matter of fact. We're going to go to page 4 and 5. Of a Punch newspaper. Soldier dies in army detention center. Widow demands probe.
This story will almost make you weep. This gentleman, according to the story I have here, his name is Corporal Kazim Aribido, and was attached to the 81 Battalion 2 Div. So what the story we have here is that he was arrested, was picked up, because they found 3 bullets in his backpack. That his house was raided, and they found 3 bullets. And the wife describes how he was taken away. Well, then, so she went to see him, and that he was later transferred to Garrison Guardroom at the Military Special Investigation Bureau in Abuja. Now, a soldier that has 3 bullets. Here, investigate the case and get back to the gentleman passed away in detention. I hope a postmortem was done on him so that we can find out what actually killed him. What I find strange Sharif is detaining this man for 17 months without trial. I don't know. I'm not a, you know, I'm a bloody civilian. I don't know if that is the usual, whatever it is.
I don't think it should. I don't think that is usual.
Do you have any military experience?
No, I don't.
Oje soldier?
No, Michelle.
So you don't know whether that's
what I don't think it should. Whether you're a soldier or you're a civilian, I mean, nobody should be detained for that long.
Without trial.
No.
For 3 bullets?
I mean, that could have been an offense, no doubt, but then, I mean, the right thing should have been done. 17 months is just too much to hold somebody without trial.
Well, the wife claims that his death is suspicious and that she wants justice.
She deserves justice.
She deserves justice.
Yeah.
So it's not a good day for the military today.
Right. Let's go to this column, Law and You, written by Ari Afebabalola, OFRSAN. He says, government's call for self-defense, a sad admission of failure to secure lives and properties of citizens.
Sherifu,
sir?
There are sons and there are sons. Ari Afebabalola is in his 80s. I'm glad he still finds time to write. So when people like him do write, you need to. I just like, because we don't really have much time, I'd like you to take out time to read his column. He says here, though, very interesting. He says, he's talking about the admission that, you know, when we've had about 2 or 3 now and we've been told to defend ourselves. But he says, security and lives and property is the primary duty of government. According to the social contract theory, every government has an obligation to the governed. And it quotes something from a famous book, The Social Contract, written by Rousseau, propounded that in the state of nature, humans are unwarlike and somewhat undeveloped in their reasoning powers, a sense of morality and responsibility, and so on and so forth. He also says at some point there that government officials in Nigeria have for several years failed to show any appreciation that in exchange for their votes, the people require the service of government, particularly in ensuring security.
Indeed. We're going to take our last story on the show today. It's coming from page 8 of the Punch newspaper. NAFDAC approves Sinopharm vaccine for COVID-19.
Well, there's another vaccine here, or should we say another variant of a vaccine, it's called Sinopharm. Okay, and it was developed in China, in the Chinese facility of the company, Beijing Institute of Biological Products, and the executive director MPHCDA. I don't know what that is. So long.
The primary health care development agency.
Completed phase 3 trials in Argentina, Bahrain, Egypt, Morocco, Pakistan, Peru, and so on and so forth, with over 60,000 participants. And share similar technology with CoronaVac, Covaxin, and other inactivated virus vaccines for COVID-19. Anyway, it's been produced, it's been by NAFDAC. We will repeat the same refrain we repeat every time. If you get a chance to be vaccinated,
please do.
Please go. Why are you looking at me? Once you talk vaccination, Philip goes behind the pillar. If the judge does that, please go get vaccinated. Go get vaccinated, whatever happens.
Indeed. We must go now. What's coming up at 9?
Well, originally, yes, Dear Bumi was coming up.
Yes.
But we'll take the first 15 minutes to talk to Captain.
Oh, necessary.
On the phone, yes, so that we can get a perspective of this.
Oh, necessary, go. It's coming up at 9. Thank you so much for coming.
God bless you.
Let's take a break. When we return, we'll talk restoring the ecosystem, the responsibility of the youth. And then, because of the development of yesterday, we have to talk about it again. So one half of the show dedicated to the ecosystem, the other 30 minutes were dedicated to the NDA attack conversation. Stay with us on Nigeria Info.
Mommy, when is Aunt Valerie coming again?
So you can see her foot.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook. Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.